Well, good morning, church. Isn't it good to be here this morning? There's just so much excitement and joy, and the sun outside is wonderful as well. I think one of the advantages when you get older is that you build up lots of memories and experiences. And this morning I want to share one memory that has had an impact on my spiritual walk. And I value deeply just what the Lord has imprinted on my heart because of it. It goes back a few years now. I was only 26 years old. Can you imagine it? 1974, to be exact. I just completed a year's study in France, learning French, and I met Helen there, we got engaged, and then I was on the way to West Africa, to the country of Benin, a small country next door to Nigeria, and my role there was to be a missionary agriculturalist. Now, I was assigned to live in a house that was built of mud block. And the thing that I remember about it, it had lots of air gaps. And it had lots of, there's a big overhang that went around the house. Obviously very useful in a warmer climate. But on the outside of the bathroom, there was a sort of a storeroom. It had no windows. It just had one door, and there was a big padlock on that door. And one day when I got frustrated with my language study of the Dompago language, this is the language that I was learning, I thought, what is in that storeroom? I'd actually thought about that many times as I walked past it. You know, curiosity? But I always saw the padlock. And the padlock sort of mentions, no, don't go. Well, I don't know if I did the right thing, but I managed to get a screwdriver and the padlock moved away. The screws were, it was an old door. It wasn't very difficult. And I opened it up. Actually, I was a bit nervous about opening it up because I thought, what is inside? And I opened the door, and immediately there's lots of lizards. I was looking for scorpions because I had a fear of scorpions. But I didn't see any scorpions, and there weren't any snakes in there. I was a bit relieved. But there was a couple of shelves, and on the shelves there were some empty bottles. Well, they were not empty, but they had some old nails in, some screws, and bits of, just little bits of everything. But on the shelf, there was something that caught my eye, and I brought along a sample of it. It's not the original one that I found, but I wonder, is there some children... Is there a boy that would like, well, we've got one hand, come on up. I want you to help me to discover what I found. Can you unwrap that? Well, it's a bit hard, isn't it? Wow. That's a saw. Have you ever used a saw?
A lot.
A lot. Well, can you imagine what the old saw was like? It had a wooden handle, didn't have plastic. It was very, very worn. And also, it was a bit rusty. But you look at these teeth. Now, don't rub your finger along it because you might cut your finger. But when I looked at that saw, all the teeth were rounded off. There wasn't one sharp teeth. Can you imagine trying to cut a piece of wood with rounded off teeth? It's like riding a bike over bumps. Boom, boom, boom. Just wouldn't cut. Well, thank you. Thanks for your help. Well, I kept that saw and I put it in my toolkit because I thought, well, one day it could become useful. And possibly about a couple of years or 3 years later, the director for SIM, the mission agency that we're working with from New Zealand, he came over to visit us. And he brought a couple of lads with him. One was Daryl and the other one was Andrew. And Andrew, he was a carpenter. And he wanted something to do. So he saw my old saw. He said, would you like that sharpened? I said, yes, please do. And we got a file. We managed to find a file. And he worked on it for many hours. But you know, when that saw was resharpened, it became the most valuable saw. It would cut straight. It was good. It was a quality instrument, but it lacked that sharpness. But when that was restored, it became very new. If we can have the text on the screen. I've often thought about the people of Israel. You know, they went through difficult times, especially when they lost their temple in Jerusalem. They were all taken away as captives. They were taken away to Babylon. And there, I guess, they served as slaves. It was a tough time. But now, there was the second generation that really wondered, what is the purpose? What has God got for us? How are we going to move ahead? We're trapped in this situation. What do we do now? And I came across these verses in Isaiah that I found so, so helpful. Let me read it to you. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, you worm Jacob, little Israel. Do not fear, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp, with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them, and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them. The wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. You can imagine those words speak of how God works in our lives to renew us, to sharpen us, to make us fit for purpose. And that's what the message, God's message was to the people of Israel. Have you ever felt dull? Have you ever felt that you're just not quite where you should be as far as your pilgrimage is concerned? I find these verses very encouraging in that. God is always willing to step into our lives and to make us sharp and new again. Now, for me, I find reading my Bible is one way that God develops this whole process of being renewed and sharpened. It's something very valuable. If you go to Isaiah 40, earlier on in the book, these words are recorded there. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. And that's my call to you today. Let's wait on our God and let him refresh us. Let him sharpen us. Perhaps it does need a file that takes a bit of metal away. And there has to be a bit of, may I say, surgery. There has to be a bit of, it's not going to always be so easy. But the outcome is that we become what God wants us to become. In a few moments, we're going to be celebrating the communion. And for me, communion is a time to remember. And Paul summed up, I think, in one verse, very effectively, what we are remembering. In Christ, God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. That's what we're remembering. We sang about it, being delivered from our sin, to be washed from our sin. But that's what God does to us. We can be put right with God, a holy God. We can bring all our baggage and who we are, but we can be put right with God. I think we all know the words of what Jesus said to the disciples in that first communion. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins." It's interesting, if we carry on reading, we read how Jesus and the disciples, they sung a hymn or something, and then they left to go to the Mount of Olives. So in Jerusalem, they were in Jerusalem, so they would have walked out through the wall, down into the valley, and then there's quite a steep climb up to the Mount of Olives. Helen and I had the privilege of doing that little trip once, and it is quite a climb, but a very special place that Jesus went with his disciples. But it's interesting that Jesus' dialogue didn't stop there. He continued to talk with the disciples, and they passed a field of grapes. And Jesus then said, "I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear the fruit unless you're joined to me." We take communion to remember what Jesus has done for us. But we also take communion to remember how we need, or we are, part of the vine. Our lives go back to the vine. We can't live separated lives. You clip off that branch, it won't be long before it starts withering. And this happens to us too, doesn't it? I know it happens, it can happen to me. And at times it has happened. But we need to be very much in the vine, in Jesus, to know the victory that he can give us. So as you take communion this morning, I want you to remember two things. Remember first what Jesus has accomplished for us, that forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what Jesus does. But the second part, I want you to remember that we need to be in the vine. We need to continue that link that we have with Jesus so that our life is actually a result of what we draw from the vine of following our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's distribute the elements now. Heavenly Father, we are deeply humbled that we can just become before you with all our struggles, of all our faults, of all our weaknesses, with our joys and with our things that we really are wondering about. Lord, thank you that we can just come to you and that through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood and his broken body, we can receive this wholeness, a new righteousness, a new way to live before you, a new way in which to go out into the world. But Lord, we just want to acknowledge we're totally dependent on you. And as a branch is a part of the vine, we just pray that we may guard our relationship, guard our union with our beloved Lord. So Lord, accept us as we are, and thank you now that you invite us to partake communion together. So Lord, we just take these elements now in Jesus' name. Amen.